Halo.
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 Halo, J-Lo. Ladles and jelly spoons. It says we're live, so we must be live. We're chit-chatting away here. You've got some wonderful sunset behind me. If you're watching on catch-up, thank you for joining us. We're going live right now. But if you're on catch-up and it's the first time here, basically, my name's Tim Dowd, and together with Christina and Giuliani, we are Balcony Banter. Ian might be coming and joining us in a minute remotely from Dundee, but I think he's actually going to be a bit more closer than Dundee today. So that's pretty cool. Let's see what you guys are saying. We also go live Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 5:55. Monday is Meetup Monday. Wednesday, Balcony Banter. And Friday is me out and about somewhere, usually in a bar, usually drinking too much and getting fat. So if you want to watch that, that's great. And I'll show you the drone footage that I take during the week of the Costa. Well, it's not only Costa Adeje, it's also the coastal regions of Tenerife. How's that? There we go. Evening, says everybody. I am introducing my lovely wife, Christina.
Good evening.
She's the lovely one on the left. And the lovely one on the right is Giuliani Nendell.
Hello, nice to see you all.
And she is, her channel is next week, so Balcony Banter is alternating as of next year. So next week is the first Wednesday of the month, and Giuliani is going to host Balcony Banter there. And there's going to be some topics that you can choose from. You can also send your topic ideas to Ian, and the link is in the description of Ian, his email address, so that's pretty cool. What else are we going to talk about? Yeah, so on the Wednesday when it's here, we're talking about Christina's dreams. We're talking about little bits of things in the news, because people have been asking me about stuff, saying how true is this and how true is that. And so I actually go to the source, the Spanish source, where I can, and see if I can get you more information, because a lot of times people get information from the tabloids, and that's, you know, the headlines are a little bit sort of like clickbaity, if you know what I mean. So
they're liars.
Yeah, so I've got information today about being fined if you're shirtless, which the Daily Mirror have put out there, and also the digital nomad visa, and also the driving license for UK citizens that are living over here now, or want to live over here. At the moment, they have to take a driving test because their license is no longer valid here because of Brexit. But we'll come to that in a minute. I was talking away, and you were looking at the girls. I suppose that's better, really. It's better looking at the chicks rather than looking at the guys.
And we're not shirtless tonight.
No, and we're not planning on.
Well, you've spoiled it now. Aww. You've spoiled it now. Watch till the end.
I even put my Rollkragen on.
Yeah, it's getting cool, isn't it?
Yep.
The weather's another thing. A lot of people have been saying what's happening with the weather, and I've got some updates on that as well. It's not good news, but it's also not all bad news, so don't worry about it. So hit the thumbs up, who says that? Anne-Marie Elton, thank you. Ray Duffy, okay, Cosgrove, oops. I'm missing lots of stuff here. Craig saying hello. Just Rick's on. Hey, Rick's on. If you want to join us, I'm going to open the room. So if you go to timothydowd.com live, and I'm going to open the room so you can come in. You won't come straight into the studio. You'll come into the back office, and I'll see you here. If I don't see you immediately, don't worry. And also, if you do come on, don't forget to turn off this stream and just listen to the live stream, because we're 30 seconds ahead of everybody else. So we're in the future. Ooh. Okay, so this is the double. There we go. I'm pointing that way. Exactly. There's the girls over there. So I'm over here. There you go.
Still working.
Ian's on. Hey, Rick's on. Craig. Maria Ayres, Alan Fraser, Jeff Daniels, Salby UK. Not seen Salby UK before. Welcome to the channel, Salby. Ian, Dunn Trucking, Marialti, Charlie's on, Ian the Doorman, Ray Duffy, Buddy Keto, that's Simon. Stevens on, interesting thumbnail. Yeah, it's an interesting. I'm learning to put an interesting thumbnail up. Evening, everyone. Did it work? Giuliani Nendell's on, whoever she is. Jeff, Eugene McGeever. Judy Way, Jeff Daniels, Evie Blue. I think I got everybody there. So for those of you on catch up, me reading people's names is not really that interesting. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and take this off the screen here. As you can see, we're on the desert island with a big help. And that's what we're hoping to do today. So before I do anything, I'm going to ask Christina, how was your week, my dear?
It was quite nice. Last week I didn't feel good, but apart from that, Monday meet-up Monday with Ian was fun.
And Barbara, of course.
And Barbara, of course.
Good, you had a good time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how did it feel? How did it feel that last week we didn't have balcony banter? How was that?
I didn't care. I was in the pumps.
She's good, isn't she?
She is. Yeah, no, but I mean, it didn't feel like irritating to not have balcony banter, because sometimes you need a rest, and if you need a rest, then you gotta take a rest.
I got an extra day in the pub because I went and did half an hour.
You did,
in
yes.
The pub, yeah.
You did.
Okay. I didn't even care about that. And I got a late dinner.
Oh, okay. Then you must have been really, really
I
bad.
I was really ill.
She couldn't stand up. I mean, she can't stand up anyway, but normally she helps when I move her from one place to the other. And she was like a
bag of spuds.
Like a bag of spuds. I love it when she does that. She quotes me sometimes. Terry Louise on. Jill Gardiner, you're going to miss me out and about. I'm in Tenerife 2. Hey, Jill's in Tenerife 2. Are you staying at the same place you were last time, down Park La Paz? Just Rick, haha, Barry, good evening. Usually a backgrounder, but I've been a member for a while. I did see that, actually, and I thought I'd recognise it, but I've not seen you commenting. Thank you, and thank you for your support. Anne-Marie Elton, Heather McCarthy is on. Hi, Jill, hope you're both enjoying your holidays. The anxiety coach is on. There you go. The anxiety coach. You know him?
No.
A colleague.
So maybe he wants to come on.
Uh-huh.
That would be something.
We will all be shirtless if we plunge into recession. People would not like to see me without my shirt. Not like to see me without my shirt off. Isn't that a double negative? Without my shirt off. Don't see me without my shirt off. I can't work that one out.
So?
See me without my shirt off. They don't see me without my shirt. I can't work it out. They see me without my shirt is no shirt. They see me without my shirt off is also no shirt. They don't
so
see
they
me.
They see me with the shirt on.
With the shirt on. Okay. Anxiety coach. If you want to come on and explain yourself, just go to timothydowd.com with a phone or a tablet or a PC or a Mac. Turn everything else off and come on and join us. Again, Rick. No headphones, Tim, we're joining you. Okay, no problem. You can come on with no headphones also if you press there's a button you can press now where it says isolate my voice or something. When you go in, it asks you to use the microphone and then you can pick then. But it's no problem. I know that you're... Oh, it's cold here as well. What we got here? Shush. 22 in the shade. 22 in the shade. So it will drop below 20 tonight, I think, for the first time in a long time.
So we might need our big blankets.
You mean your duvet?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be duvet cold tonight. I don't think so.
Not yet.
Not that yet.
No.
So with the weather, what we do have is we've got a depression out to the west of us, west and north. I'll see if I can come on with that. Let's switch it, share the device, share the screen, and start broadcast. And then we can go to...
It has still been quite warm for November.
It has. It has.
Yeah.
And today is the first day, isn't it?
Yeah, that is
it's cold.
Cold. I mean, we are very spoiled, aren't we?
Exactly.
We are very
in
spoiled.
Germany, no one would call it 22 degrees cold.
Exactly. They're probably standing with their Glühwein, with their mulled wine on the Christmas market.
Oh, yeah. So let's see if I can get this display up. It's here. It's upright, unfortunately, but there you go. So if you go to zoom.earth and you come down to the Canary Islands, which is here, and zoom out a little bit, wait till it refreshes. As you can see, there is a cyclone out to the west of us, not an anticyclone, because it's going anti-clockwise, which is a cyclone, right? I can't remember which one's which. It doesn't matter. But one of those, so it's turning anti-clockwise. So it's bringing the northerly wind down from the polar ice cap. And there is one above it, which is an anti-cyclone, or the other way around, which is also pulling it down. So it's basically a double whammy in the North Atlantic Ocean there.
Ooh.
Right? And so that's bringing
cooler
air
out to the...
Hey, Rick, you got to turn me off. There you go.
Hi, Tim.
Cool, I can hear you. You're not on
yet.
Hi,
Rick.
Hi, Rick. How are you? Hi, Christine. How are you?
Good, very good. Nice to hear you.
Nice to see you guys.
There I can't see you, but I can hear you.
Yeah,
there we go.
Hi, Tim.
I'm going to just turn you down slightly. There you go. Yes, sir.
How are you, sir? Okay.
Yeah.
I've got my cup of tea in hand ready to... I was going to listen to you in the background as always, Tim. You know what I mean?
You're a good supporter.
It's a good cup of tea, that one you've got.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Fruit tea, I think it is. or as we say, fruity. Fruity. Yeah, so that's the weather thing. I'm gonna stop this because otherwise I'll overload the system. You know, what do they say? All the gear and no idea?
No. That's not what they say. Ladies, you look fantastic, by the way. Julianne, you look really ready for the winter.
Yes. I was looking forward to wear a little bit more covered clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, everybody else, they kept sending me money to say, you know, keep her in summer clothes. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't.
I work in the evening 6 nights a week and I finish at 1 o'clock in the morning and I get out. Sometimes like, I use the car when Shelley's not working. Otherwise, I've got a scooter and the water on the scooter seat is normally about that much, that deep. From like the morning dew, but like 1:30 in the morning, because the weather's changing that much now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's winter's definitely here for Tenerife.
Winter's coming.
That's it. That's truth, isn't it?
The goose is getting fat.
Well,
welcome to the goose.
Shelley's in the UK and she's freezing. She's freezing.
I can imagine. I saw a blog with DJ and Shelley.
Yeah. Yeah, she spent a day down in London for a couple of meetings and then flew up to Newcastle. She spent the day, so DJ very kindly hosted and took her around London and he even took her to the Ivy, which is like, you know, the foodies that they are, and they absolutely loved it. And but she said it was cold. It was very, very cold.
I couldn't go back to Britain. It'll get into your bones, you know?
Yeah.
It'll get into your bones.
I just don't think we're dressed for it. I don't think we've got the clothing for it. You got to the house and, you know, it was 8 degrees and they weren't putting the heating on. I think not because they can't afford it. It's more through protest that they just don't want to do it. And they're with like double hoodies and, you know, foot warmers and dressing gown. And it's just not the way we live, is it?
No. I remember when I lived in England, it was my mum and dad, they wouldn't heat the house, you know. So it was like 16 degrees in the house. And then in the morning, the first time I took Christina over, because, I mean, how much did you heat the house in Bavaria?
Like 24 degrees.
Yeah, so that was really hot. I mean, not a lot of people did 24 degrees, but 21 was good. But Christina liked having a warm house in Bavaria, didn't you?
Yeah.
And so when she got to Britain the first time, and we woke up in the morning, and there was condensation on the inside of the window.
Yeah.
She goes, where are we? Siberia.
I think when it comes, we were talking about this the other day, I think, you know, if you come from maybe Norway or Iceland or even the Eskimos, they dress accordingly to it. And it's just, you know, for us, for me, a cold night now is a hoodie and, you know, maybe a pair of tracksuits around the house, tracksuit bottoms around the house. Whereas, you know, you get to the UK and you just need to put everything on. I think you need every single type of clothing.
Definitely. I'm seeing if anybody's saying anything. Barry Oliver, currently 2 degrees in West Lothian.
Oh, man. I go back on the 10th, I'm like, no.
It's nice to go back once in a while. I mean, especially those cold winter months. I think they are very cozy in countries like northern countries. You don't really get that feeling so much over here. But
yeah.
I mean, we all made a choice to live here, and yeah, that's what we got to deal with that sunny weather.
Somebody's got to do it.
Exactly.
Anxiety coach saying,
"Take him on for the team, Tim. Is that what we're doing? Are we taking him on for the team?
We're taking him on for the team." The anxiety coach says, "I confuse you enough already without going live. I use confusion technique, a great way to execute change."
Oh, great.
There you go.
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you line up your coins and shoot them? I think a couple of brains blew there.
You do confuse people too with your magic tricks, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm good at magic tricks. I got a gig on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised that I said, "Oh yeah, I'll do it." And then I realized we're meeting people. But I realized then I haven't practiced since lockdown.
For your magic.
Yeah. So I couldn't pull a professional show together tomorrow to save my life.
Okay.
I would need at least a month's preparation. With the music, the relearning the tricks, relearning the pattern.
Ah, so you have to actually relearn or learn the tricks and perform then for yourself as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got to practice every day, really, to make it second nature. I mean, there's about five tricks that I could do in my sleep.
Yeah.
But I found out that I was also... I couldn't do them in my sleep anymore. I had to rethink, what was that and what was that? So, because you've got to be able to, the technique and the presence, you know, what the customer sees, have got to be totally separate, right? Because most magic has already happened by the time you do the magic gesture, right? And so you have to be able to do that in one half of your brain and then talk to people in the other half of your brain. That's really hard.
So you wouldn't fool Penn and Teller?
I do not have a trick that they would not know. No, I don't. No, I don't. Well, what I do have is an act that nobody else does.
Yes.
Right. So therefore, and I think that's better actually, because Fool Us in Penn and Teller was actually designed to get magic back on the TV in a magical way, because nobody watches magic anymore. But if we say, "Oh, we're going to try and fool Penn and Teller," then that's a way to get people to watch, because it's sort of like sensationalism.
Yeah.
But basically, all the people that actually got on there are professional magicians that are famous in their own right, just not TV famous, you know. And so that was it. So you get invited onto that. You can't like go and sort of stand and be auditioned for it. You get invited on for that.
Yeah.
And it was basically Penn and Teller's way of giving back to the magic community, of saying, "We have this platform because we're really famous in Las Vegas, and we've got this contract to say, fool us, Penn and Teller, and we'll bring you on, and it doesn't matter." I reckon that they're never fooled, myself. You know, I mean, there are some really, really good card magicians out there that I can't even begin to think how it works, right? But my favorite trick doesn't always work. So my favorite card trick only works, I would say, 18 out of 20 times.
Really?
And if it works 18 out of 20 times, it is a mind blower.
Okay.
But on the two times it doesn't work, it's okay, because I've not said it's my favorite trick. I just do another one, you know?
You'll have to show me the string one.
Yeah. Say again?
You'll have to show me next time I come over.
Actually, I cannot show the tricks, but what I can do now I'm retired, I can teach.
All right.
So if you really want to learn a trick, then I can actually teach you magic, as long as you promise not to show it, you know, show how it's done.
Yeah.
And I always say to the student, and I've got a couple of students, I always say to the students, when you decide to learn magic, you will lose magic.
That's true.
So you have to be prepared to lose the magic for yourself, But then you get it back in the eyes of the people you perform for.
That's true, because the mystery is gone.
Yeah.
Nothing is mysterious about it anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you were mentioning that before about saying you need a month's preparation. It was about a year and a half ago, I met up with a friend of mine who's a golf pro. He's a golf pro at Stockport at the time. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a lesson, a golf lesson. He says, within about 6 months, you'll get back down to about 4 handicap.
Uh-huh.
And that's somebody who's a 0 handicap for like 15 years. And you just lose the second nature of it. Mm-hmm. And it just disappears to the point of almost like lack of confidence as well. And it's because, you know, when it's second nature, the confidence is just you're flying high. So I understand what you mean from there. But we had the same again, what you just said. When you learn the magic, you lose the magic. In golf, the moment you start becoming the professional at it, you lose your hobby. The hobby's gone.
That's true.
Or you take on the next trick. I mean, once you know how to perform really well, that one trick, and it has become second nature, mm-hmm. And the mystery for your own self is gone, you can learn how to do another trick that might be still tricky.
That is true, but the way magic works is that what you actually see in magic as being totally different tricks are typically 1, 2, or 3 techniques, right?
Uh-huh.
So when you learn the technique, if you see a trick, you don't know how it's done, but you can imagine what technique you would employ. So you've got like a disappearance, uh-huh. an appearance, an exchange.
Yeah.
So these are all things that you would see. But like in the exchange, it can be anything. It can be changing a guy, a motorcycle to a lion, you know. It's still an exchange. So, and we're taught how to exchange things on a small scale and on a large scale.
Okay.
So it's... Okay. So
there's the exchange drawer,
mm-hmm.
and you pull out the exchange drawer, and then and then there's the big exchange or the small exchange.
You see magic as something different after a while.
Yeah.
So you see it as a technique and not as a mystery, as a mystery. Right. And so that's the thing you lose.
Yeah.
But I still watch card. I like card magic, so I still watch card magicians and go, wow. That was good. You know, that was really good.
Yeah. And especially the entertainment factor.
Go ahead, Rick.
I think you appreciate the craft, though, because being a professional yourself, you see the professionalism of somebody else and their craft.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you appreciate. It's more like when I look at another golf pro, I look at the technique. My favourite players are people like Retief Hoosen, which people don't know of. Mm-hmm. And it's their technique that is just far superior than Tiger Woods. Or Bryson DeChambeau, how he's pushing like the boundaries of golf, and you love that with the magicians that you see, you know. I think.
Yeah, but I tend not to watch other magicians because I either get depressed that I can't do it, or when I played golf, I didn't watch golf either.
Oh.
You know, I'm more into the layperson's eyes. That's what I want to do. So knowing 5 good tricks and saying goodbye is worth its weight in gold. It's worth its weight in gold.
Fantastic.
I'm glad you're on, actually, because you've got a inroads into sort of news outlets and stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a few.
People have been asking me about am I going to get fined if I walk around the streets without a shirt? And I'd heard about it, and I thought, yeah, I better look at that because I want to find the BOE or the BOC that says that. And they're all local bylaws. None of them are Spain, because Spain's constitution. Says that nakedness, in fact, total nakedness, is not an offence, right?
Yeah.
So basically, the constitution allows you to walk around naked, but local bylaws amend those things. Obviously, they don't want you walking into a supermarket naked and stuff like that. But you can lie on a beach naked, for instance, right?
Yeah.
And the shirtless thing has been brought around in places like Barcelona, Catalonia, and Palma de Mallorca, of all places, right? Because they don't want people coming off the beach and then shirtless or just wearing a bikini. So they made these bylaws. And then the Daily Mirror picked that up, and then local news outlets picked that up and made this thing about you get fined if you're without a shirt. But what I found out was you will get fined if you drive without a shirt.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and you will get fined if you wear flip-flops whilst driving.
I knew the flip-flop one. I did know the flip-flop one. That was a rule, because I walk the dog and I go on the beach, but I always wear my trainers because I knew that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But funnily enough, the flip-flop law and the no-shirt law is the same one.
All right, okay.
Because the law doesn't actually mention flip-flops. It only mentions that you have to be able to drive cautiously. And the policeman that stops you can say, I think that using flip-flops in your car doesn't allow you to be as cautious as you should be. So they're not actually fining you for wearing flip-flops driving. They're fining you for the one law which says you've got to be dressed ready to drive. And the reason they don't want you wearing, they want you to wear a shirt is because you can get injured if your seatbelt is over bare skin because of the chafing.
Right.
So if you have an accident or you have to stop quickly, you get injured more if you've got no clothes and the seatbelt's directly on your skin, especially if you're sweating. Okay. So, yeah, it was really weird. I mean, I looked into it, and so the law is not no shirts. It's basically just common sense, which is most laws, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think what you're doing, as I say, along the front, when I'm walking the dog, I'll walk down the front with no shirt on, but at the moment I get off the front, I've always got to just, I think it's a personal choice. Mm-hmm. But I think the police make a personal choice of whether they want to enforce it or not. I don't think it's enforceable unless there's not really much else happening in the day and then they decide to do it. That's what I think. It's like I walk the dog. The dog should have a dog over 20 kilos needs a muzzle on. My dog has a halter on, which is the same as a muzzle. Mm. But again, it's like I'm dancing along the line because if a police officer says, no, today we're going to look at muzzles, then, you know, I'd get a fine. Mm-hmm. But up at 2 years, for the last 2 years, he's not going to, you know, it doesn't happen. So I think that's the difference with the Spanish law, I suppose. It's how it gets interpreted and what sort of, it sounds awful, but what sort of mood the the local police are in at the time, you know, to see whether it's worthwhile stopping people or not, I think.
I think also it's the reaction of the people who were stopped, you know. So yes. A policeman that will stop you. I mean, if a policeman stops me, I've got a driving license that says I'm German by accident, right? And so sometimes when I hand my driving license over, I get a totally different reaction than if I hand my TIE over, which says I'm British.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that makes the assumption of who you are and what culture you come from has a bearing on how you're treated also.
I think at this moment in time, we're looking for a different property at the moment. It's known on our vlogs that we talked about it before.
Yeah.
And we have to, the amount of hoops that you've got to go and jump through to try and get into, because if let's say you own a second property, Tim, and I'm renting from you, it's fine. But we're using a lot of companies where they've got like 500 properties.
Yeah.
And you've got to jump through hoops. And I think it's mainly because of the past experiences of them being burnt from the British people. Of the way it's acting, maybe the 80s and the 90s has given that sort of feeling now, where they're just like, nope, it's just, you know, this is it now, black and white, that's what you do, or you don't accept it. Yeah. Whereas I think you got the German one, again, you know, when I speak Dutch to people, you certainly get different attitudes.
You do get a different attitude.
Yeah, I think but so.
Which is a shame.
But you mentioned a really good word there. I think it comes down to attitude a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, you can absolutely tell attitude also in your words, how you word things. So of course, I mean, if you get pulled over by police or by authorities, it's not like the ideal, and you're really like in a happy mood about it. But still gotta keep your attitude right somehow.
It's never the music; it's always the tone. That's what I always say.
Yeah, exactly.
Tim, I'm going to leave you because I can see Ian trying to get in and I've got some chores to do in the background. So I'm going to leave you guys on. I'm going to say thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you very much. Nice to see you again.
And enjoy the rest of your evening. I'll chat to you soon.
We've got two people on, actually.
Woohoo!
Thank you very much, Rick. See you soon. Tara. So we got Ian and Barbara in one area.
Ooh.
And we got Ian in one. Oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. We're going to get a fours up here. I've got to do a new thing now. Here we go. Multi-view. Four views. A, B, C, D.
Brand EFG. Profile.
Give me 2 seconds, guys. Give me 2 seconds. We've got two people coming in. Brand profile. Number of sources. Slot assignments. Here we go. Pre-select the slot assignments. And we shall have A is going to be me. And B is going to be the girls, and C is going to be Barbara, and D is going to be Ian. And we're going to go done. And we're going to go live. Fours up, ladles and jelly spoons. Here we go.
Hey, good evening.
Hello.
They can't see you just yet, but
no, not yet. We're still at the sushi bar.
Still at the sushi bar. Now, don't forget, if you sat close to each other, you're going to be bleeding into the into each other's microphone. But that's okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. Perfect.
Hello. Perfect. You're looking good. Really good. Handsome and beautiful.
Hello, Barbara. Oh. How are you?
Who's that? Hello, me. Good evening, all.
Good evening, sweetheart.
Good evening. Good evening. Well, what I have to do is, Ian's pretty good. Ian, if you mute yourself while Barbara's talking.
Yeah, just.
Oh, in fact, just mute yourself because I think we can hear both of you through Barbara's microphone anyway. That's perfect.
So
I've got to say, I'm going to quickly read some of the comments, but whilst I'm reading them, I'd like Ian and Barbara just to say how has your vacation been up to now?
Really good. We're out today and spent more money.
Have you been doing some Christmas shopping?
Yeah, don't be having a sale, will you?
It's all done. That? Everything's done, all wrapped up and ready to go.
Ready to Christmas. Go?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And you did some nice walks. I saw you you were walking in the morning again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were out today.
Uh-huh. Some nice coastal walk. Great.
Was it a coastal walk? Coastal?
Yeah.
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 Had to ask the boss.
And you were at the meetup Monday.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was good.
That was good too. Did you have some great food?
We enjoyed that.
We did.
The interview was really great. But the food afterwards was fantastic as well. And thank you again, Ian. And Barbara, of course.
No problem.
Just gonna answer a couple of questions here. Do I like Tommy Cooper? Yes. He was one of my heroes. Just discovered Rick, says Michael Ross. Loving the videos. Anybody who's not subscribed to Just Rick, because that's a different channel to Rick and Shelley. So if you're a fan of Rick and Shelley and you're a fan of us, go and find Just Rick. I'll put the link in the description and up here later, but it's not there now. Just put Just Rick in Tenerife. Because there is another Just Rick, which is a famous guy, but Just Rick Tenerife, and you should be okay. You should find that. Okay, Ian. So, how did you like the flying the drone the other day?
Yeah, that was good.
Uh huh.
Hello, you still here?
Yes,
a bit echoey.
Yes,
I've got a bit echoey. Yeah.
If you just mute yourself, Ian, and I'll hear you through the we'll hear you through the microphone of Barbara's headphones.
Sorry,
I have to go.
Are you okay?
That's fine.
We
can hear you both perfectly now.
Right.
Damien Hanker says we went out in September and we had a bad storm and spent days in the hotel to see the weather has been great, so booked to come back out in 2 weeks. So the weather doesn't turn bad again. Damien Hancock, I think it's every time you come over the weather changes. it's not gonna be too bad. And I think the weather is gonna be localized anyway, so it's gonna be a little bit cooler, but that's normal for this time of year.
Yes.
Yeah. That is normal this time of year. It's Craig saying, okay, Craig's put the link up to Just Rick, there you go. If that's the right one, I'm going to check it. No, this is the famous guy. No, this is the famous guy. That's not him.
Getting even more famous now.
He's getting even more famous now, yeah. So that's not the link there, Craig. I'll find it. I'll put it in the description later. How do I get back to me now? Oh, there I am. Thanks. Got a lot of bad publicity, Alan, says Moira. What do you call him again? Alan Fraser, I remember him. Barbara. Okay, I think we got everybody. spoon, jar, jar, spoon, bottle, glass, glass, bottle. We can actually, I can actually do a what's it called? A Tommy Cooper sketch now. Glass, bottle.
This one.
No. She's giving me the water bottle there. Glass, bottle, bottle, glass. Glass, bottle, bottle, glass. I'm going to pour something in.
I need to go for it.
There you go. And I'm going to make the wine disappear now. Are you ready? Come on. I don't think I can do TV stuff. TV stuff. Oh, somebody's left. Okay, we got back to three now. Okay, let's do it this way then.
Are they just sitting together?
They're just sitting together. Okay, let's do it this way then.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to change edit properties. Just Rick changed to Ian. Done. And puff. Here we go. There we go. So I'm on the bottom now. I'm holding everybody up. I'm holding So what was the second thing I wanted to talk about today?
Digital Nomad.
Is the Digital Nomad. Now, it has not yet been ratified by the Consejo Ministerial, which is like the ministerial cabinet, but it has gone through the main parliament. So basically, the Digital Nomad Visa, what does that mean, in fact? Basically, they're offering visas to EU and non-EU. Sorry, got a little spider in my face. Non-EU people to come here and work, and you have to work for a company that is not based in Spain. So that's the digital nomad thing. So you have to be able to work remotely, and you have to show an income of around about, I think, minimum 2,000 euros, and it is a visa for 12 months. Everybody's saying 5 years, that's not true. It's going to be a visa for 12 months. And the 12 months you have to move here. That means you have to have your centre of life here to get the visa. You can't like just say, oh, I'm going to come for 93 days instead of 90 days. You've got to actually move your centre of life here to become a digital nomad here and stay for a year. At the end of the year, you get the option to extend it for another 2 years. So that's 3 years in all. And you get the lower tax rates, which I think is 15% corporation tax if you're creating a business here. Or if you're working for somebody else, income tax, I think, is going to be 15% instead of 25. And that's for the first year and the subsequent 2 years. At the end of that, you can extend it for a subsequent 5 years. So it's 8 years in all. But I think if you're here 8 years, you'll end up just being a resident. I think you're no longer classed as somebody coming new. So you probably end up just paying the tax that everybody else pays. So I'm not sure, and it might change in the future. But basically, the one that's coming in as soon as the Consejo Ministerio get their act together and pass it. And I think there'll be a lot of people going to jump on that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's great globally as well.
It is, yeah. Especially now we've got direct flights from
New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
New Jersey. So the digital nomad, the places to look is, I'll put a link in the description, but it's basically schengeninfo.org, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll put the link in the description. I'll tell you all about it, and they'll keep you up to date as well. So...
Oh, okay.
Any questions on that one?
Yeah. So Spanish bank account, etc.
You will have to have a Spanish bank account anyway. I'm not sure, because the tax is non-resident tax. So you get tax on the non-resident scale, right? But it's reduced. And so I'm not really sure whether you're going to get a residence bank account or not. That's a good question.
Very good question.
A very good question. I'm not sure whether you need a Spanish bank account, but it's always good to have one. It's just that if you're not a resident, they charge you an arm and a leg for not being a resident for some reason. and you got to tell them every 3 months that you're still here, and that costs you money and stuff. So non-resident bank accounts are the bane of people's lives. Anyway, bankers, you know, banksters. They're all banksters anyway. Anything else? Okay, thanks, Craig. There's Rick Tenerife. So there is the link there, and I'll put that in the thing as well. Magic McCage is on. I don't think you need a Spanish bank account, because I think if you're getting paid from outside of Spain, they can pay you into Spain as well, can't they?
Yeah.
They can pay you into your other bank account. It depends where you're from, I suppose, but how it's easy, if it's in different currencies, like you get, you know, like if you're earning pounds or krona or yen or something like that, then obviously bringing it to a Spanish bank account is going to incur more costs as well. So I don't know about that. But that was the, you get more information from the SchengenVisaInfo.org, I think it is. And again, I'll put the link in the description. So that's coming very soon. The other thing that we wanted to talk about, oh, hang on, Carl's got a question here. I know three couples who have been living in Benidorm for the way past their 30 days, in fact, 4 months. And when they returned home to the UK, nothing said at Alicante or Manchester Airport, Spain wants us to stay. You know, I've also looked into that. The way it works is it's not Spain. It's the Schengen area. It's the EU that will, they won't fine you. You'll just probably find that if you want to come back into the EU and you've had an entry stamp and no exit stamp, then you could have problems the next time you want to enter. If they didn't have an entry stamp, so if they came before Brexit and stayed long and then just went out and were not stamped out. I've also heard that they're not stamping it if you're coming into Lanzarote either. They're not stamping in or out, right? And it's mainly because you're getting off a plane from TUI or Jet2 and you've got a hotel and you're on holiday, you know? So I think they're just sort of saying...
Well, in the hotels, it's obligation that you are registered in their system.
Okay.
So every hotel or even vivienda vacacional, they have the obligation to put your passport, ID number or whatever in their system.
Yeah.
So that is law. By law.
That's true. What I'm saying is if they don't stamp your thing, they still know where you were, right? But so the problem isn't like, you've been here 95 days, we're going to fine you. The problem is if you've had an overstay in the past, your next entry could be an issue.
Mm-hmm. So similar to what you had said from the States.
That's why I can never go back to the United States without a visa. Because I went twice in a year. And they got me coming in February and leaving in September. When actually I went February, came back February, went September, came back September. But they says, no, we don't have you coming out in February. So I said, but you got me coming back in September. Oh, yeah, but we don't know when you went out. So you could have gone out 2 days previously and come back. So they will never allow me to use the visa waiver program. Now, don't forget, ETIAS is going to start soon. ETIAS is the European visa waiver program, where you pay €7 and you put your details in before you arrive, so then you want us to show your passport again.
So the equivalent to the ESTA.
It's the equivalent of the ESTA in America.
Yeah.
It's ETIAS.
Let's face it. It doesn't even matter where you go. They know where you are, because if you think about back home, you can't get on a plane unless you put your API in. When you arrive here, when you check in at the hotel, as you said, Juliana, it becomes automatic. They take your details there and they put them on the system there. So they know where you are, they know you've arrived here, and they know when you leave. When you put your passport, when you arrive back home and you put your passport in the machine, they know exactly where you are and how long you've been.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's not only people from the UK or from other European countries. It's also happens to when locals go spend time in a hotel.
Yeah.
They also need their details. So
I'm just not sure whether the hotel registry goes to the local police and the stamp goes to the customs or the border control. So if knowing Spain and knowing Britain or other places, a lot of these offices don't talk to each other. So, all I would say is that if you do overstay and you don't get talked to when you leave, you could have a problem coming back. But again, having said that, it's Britain and Europe, so we still have this quasi history between us. And they know that we're not going to come and, you know, steal your jobs and stuff. So I think that certain places, as you say, are probably going to say, you know what, we don't really mind. But they've got to have the law. So what on this channel, what we usually tell you is what the law is, which isn't always exactly what happens in real life. Yeah?
Exactly. And I always like the saying, well, this is literally translated from German.
Uh-huh.
nothing is eaten. As hot as it's cooked.
Nothing's eaten as hot as it cooked.
As it's cooked.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like mm-hmm. you're preparing a meal,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And it's out of the oven or from the stove, and mm-hmm. and you don't shovel it in your mouth right away. You wait until you can eat it, right?
So the meaning is basically the letter of the law and the spirit of the law are different.
Well, I mean, it's not like Rick was saying. It depends a little bit who you're talking to. Depends a little bit your own attitude.
Uh-huh.
Depends on a lot of different things. And yes, when we read the laws mm-hmm. and the rules. That can be overwhelming and be like, oh my God, we have to abide to this and that and this and that. And then in the end, it's not as bad and it's easier than probably presented.
Okay. Just to finish up on that, don't forget the digital nomad visa is not yet available. So you're going to have to wait until it's ratified and offered. But if you want to come over between now and then, there's two ways to get over. One is to find a sponsor to sponsor you and give you a job. Once you've got the offer of a job, you can come over here from anywhere, really. And you just need to get the correct visa, the working visa. You have to be able to... I think that you're not really supposed to take a Spanish guy's job. Same as in England, you know, don't want to come over here taking all our jobs. And so you have to have the reason that you're coming over. And your employer will actually tell you that. And they will do all the paperwork for you, usually. So if you're coming over with a company or you're coming over to work, then the people you're going to work for are going to sort all the paperwork out for you. And that's why they've got lawyers and stuff. The other one is the non-lucrative visa. And if you want to know more about that, I'll put a link up here. It's actually up there, I think, above Ian's head, if I remember to do it. Or just go back and look at the coming to Tenerife on a non-lucrative visa. That means you're not allowed to work at all. So you have to support yourself. And there's two ways of doing that as well. One is to have enough income and medical coverage that will cover you the same as a local. And the income has to be four times the Warenkorb, the shopping basket, which is calculated every December, and next year's is around about nearly 700 euros. So you need to be able to earn 700 euros a month times four for the first person and times one for each subsequent person. So if you come in with a partner, you have to have 28,000 income, and they have to have, 7 times 12? 9,000, yeah, so 28 and 9. So it's probably going to be around about 35,000, I don't know. So you've got to have that money either as income or in the bank. And I think if you want to come and you don't have an income, you have to have double that in the bank for the 2 years. The other way you can do it is the golden, well, they call the gold, it's not a golden visa, but so the visa where you invest in Spain. So you can invest in a company or in property. And in fact, if you spend more than $500,000 on your property, your main residence, that is also counted as investing. So you can actually use that. But there are other things that you need to do, like medical coverage, background check for police background check, but it's usually pretty good. And the way to do any of those things is to contact the local consulate. It's either London or Manchester or Edinburgh, I think, of Spain. And they send you all the details in English. It's a questionnaire that you fill out, and they tell you exactly what types of documents you need, where you need to go and get them ratified, and if you need to get any one of those translated, and the translations have to have the apostle stamp. So it's quite complicated, but it's doable. And don't forget, Denise and Steve did that this year, and we've logged it, and they've got all the details there. And if you want to ask, if you want any other details apart from what's in the vlog and the links that I put there, then just send me an email and I'll make sure that Steve and Denise answer any questions. Up to now, what's happened is anybody's got any questions, I'll pass it on to them and they've got in touch with them privately. So that's also an option. They're very good, Steve and Denise. So the Pearsons, and don't forget their kids have got Pearsons Adventures as well. Go on, give them some love. And Steve has started a channel, North Tenerife Man.
Woohoo!
Is it North Tenerife Man, NTM?
Right.
So go and see that. I'll put all the links in the description of this, and we'll see that. So we're coming up to 51 minutes now. I think the only other thing we've got to talk about is the driving license. Or did we already do the driving license? I can't remember.
No.
We didn't do the driving license yet?
No. Okay. Yeah, they've done them.
Okay. The driving license, the background for the driving license. Basically, when I arrived, I could exchange my German driving license for a Spanish one. And that's why they think I'm German, because they just said he's German, because he's exchanging a German driving license. Even though I put down I was a British citizen, born in Earlham, they probably thought I was born in Iran or something like that. Anyway, so...
Yeah, you look Iranian.
I look Iranian. And what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So the driving license... When Brexit happened, we had a certain amount of time to exchange a British driving license for a Spanish one, and then that door closed. And so anybody who's coming to the area now can only drive on their British license for a short period of time. And I think it's less than 90 days. I think it's 30 days or something if you're moving here. But don't quote me on that. But it's a short amount of time. Then you have to get a Spanish one. And the only way to get a Spanish one at the moment, if you're British, is to take the test. And the test is a written test theory, which you can actually take in English, and a practical test where the guy testing you speaks Spanish. So a lot of Brits didn't like to be able to do that. Oh, why can't we change the stuff? So the consul got involved, and the honorary consul got involved, and anyway, so now they've come to an agreement that has, again, not been ratified. So it's not actually in power at the moment. But they've come to an agreement that Brits will be able to exchange their driving license. And on the day that it comes out, they're going to put it in the BOE, which is the Bulletin, Oficial Bulletin Español, mm-hmm. whatever it's called, which is basically where the laws get made. And it will be valid that day. And from that day, you have 6 months to exchange your license for free. Now, they've seen problems arising already that so many people are going to like want the license extended. So as long as you start the process within the 6 months, then you will get your license exchanged. Up to now, you will be able to drive, not now, but when it gets passed, you will be able to drive on your UK license as long as your UK license is valid. What a lot of people might do on this is send to the DVLC and get a new one. Do not do that. If you renew your license from Spain, your UK license becomes invalid, because your UK license has to be drawn on a UK address. Okay? It can't be drawn on a Spanish address. So if you say you live in Britain, then you are no longer resident here, therefore you no longer get to change your license. So it's a catch-22. So if your license has either run out, you can still exchange your license even though it's run out within this six-month period. So do not, if you're living in Spain, don't renew a British license. And I'll put the information where I got the information here as well. That's very important. So it is coming, and there will be a six-month window. And if you get in early enough, you'll be able to drive without a problem. You can drive on your valid license right now. No, sorry, not now. When it happens, you'll be able to drive on your UK license. Because now UK drivers can't drive. They're not allowed to drive on a UK license right now. So when it comes in, you'll be able to start driving again on your UK license for a period of 6 months. If you don't get your Spanish license within that 6 months, you cannot drive after 6 months until your Spanish license arrives.
Oh, okay.
All right, so that's also important. It sounds complicated, but then after that, what will happen is if you come over, then it'll be 6 months from the day you arrive. But if you're already here, it'll be 6 months from the day the law changes.
Are you already confused?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'll just give you three examples, right? If you're on the island and you have a valid UK driving license, you cannot drive today, right?
Yeah.
Also not, right? So if you're on the island, you have a UK valid license, a driving license, you cannot drive today, unless you're a tourist, of course, yeah. But yeah, if you're living here and you haven't changed it already, you can't drive. As soon as the law changes, you'll be able to drive on your UK valid driving license for 6 months whilst you do the exchange.
Yes.
And then everything's fine. If you don't get in early enough and your driving license doesn't arrive within that 6 months,
you
can't drive after 6 months until your Spanish license arrives.
Yes.
If you're coming later and you arrive in Spain as a digital nomad or whatever, then you arrive, you have 6 months from the day you arrive to change your license.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what they also said was, if you're in an area where a lot of people are asking for a driver's license, you can exchange your license in any municipality. So if you can go to a quiet municipality up in, you know, Santiago del Teide, and you can do the exchange there, and you get an appointment the next day. Whereas if you're in a Rona or a Dekhi, yes, you're probably going to have to wait 2 months.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, that's so you can do it anyway. An advantage.
Okay. And you heard it here, my friends. And you heard it here.
Yep.
So we're going to have a look back at the... Have you been looking at the monitor and the things? Tree needs your help. Okay, tree surgeon. What's up, tree? Good evening, everyone. Tim, have you changed your email address? We had a bounce back and did not want to WhatsApp you. My email address is me@timothydowd.com. Try that one. me@timothydowd.com. You can also get me at smudger@gmail.com.
It's Craig says confused.com.
I wish I won a million on confused.com like Rick's mate, Steve. I thought I was confused now. I'm confused about being confused. There you go. Data Daz is never confused. Sounds strict, then you see the way some of them drive. You know, the thing is, what I found is, if you don't drive like a local, you're the dangerous one.
Yeah.
You know, if you say, oh, I had right of way, yeah, we'll put that on your gravestone.
Yeah, the driving here is regulated chaos.
Correct. As long as you understand that you got to look at everybody.
You have to look constantly.
Exactly.
Look. And the roundabouts, which are also quite a landmark of the island, they are actually also very useful. So just stay in the roundabout and go round again.
Exactly.
If you miss it.
And everybody stays on the outside lane. If it's a two-lane roundabout, everybody stays on the outside lane.
Question.
Yes.
Question from three. Can't you hire a car for 2 days a week for 6 months to get around that? What you were saying earlier on.
You can hire a car, but if you don't have a valid driving license, you can't drive. Okay, there's a difference between driving a car and having a valid driving license. If you're a tourist, don't worry. It doesn't affect you. If you're a tourist, you come and you drive with your British license, no problems. Because you can only stay 90 days anyway, so you're never gonna exceed the 6 months, right? It's only for people who have got registered with a TIE, a tarjeta in... tarjeta identificación extranjero. Those are the people that we're talking about. So if you're moving over here, then your driving license, or if you've already moved over here and you haven't exchanged your driving license and you don't want to take a test, you can almost take a test, get a Spanish driving license tomorrow. But so it's getting round it isn't an option. And if you're a tourist, it doesn't affect you. If you're on the island, if you want to drive, take a test, or you can wait until this law changes, then you can change your valid UK driving license for a Spanish one with no test. That's the only thing we're talking about.
Yep.
My iCloud bounced. Oh, dear. I don't know why that is. I haven't blocked you, I don't think. Just send it to me at timothydown.com. That should get through.
I'm just, is it a comms problem just now, roundabout? Because I sent Julianne an email and it bounced as well.
Did it bounce?
Oh dear, it could be. Or maybe we're just giving out too much information and they don't want us telling that, you know? They don't want us giving out the information.
Well, we will check.
I'm just curious when you said that.
I got one from Stop the War Coalition. That's 6 o'clock. That was the last email I got. Six o'clock.
That was last night I did that.
All right. But anyway, so it's coming up to 7 o'clock now, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go around and do the finishing up. So, Christina, I didn't give you a chance to get a word in edgeways, did I?
Oh, it was not really my themes.
Okay. So weren't we going to talk about your dreams?
Yeah,
we're going to talk about your dreams, aren't you? But we don't want to talk about last night's dream, do we? We can't discuss that on this channel. Okay. Family channel, you see. She had X-rated dreams last night.
Oh, yeah.
X-rated. And I wasn't in them.
No. Oh, my God. And you told him this morning.
Uh-huh. The X-rated can be other things than sexy time.
Oh,
it was sexy time.
No, it wasn't sexy time.
Exorcist.
She was a baddie, weren't you, kid?
Yeah.
You're a real baddie. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. Next week. Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in next week.
Yeah.
No, but it's not allowed in this channel.
So you're not going out at all this week until Meet Up Monday, right? And if nobody registers, you're not going there either, right?
That's exactly right.
And how do you say that's exactly right in Spanish?
S-O-C-K-S.
You spell socks. S-O-C-K-S.
Socks.
Andy's on at 7:30. His dad's birthday. Paul, happy birthday if you're watching. And I think he had his birthday breakfast and I missed him by about 10 minutes. I did a walk this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And my car was parked just up the road from the place where they had breakfast. So I must have passed him and not seen him. 10 minutes, I think it was.
That was probably good because you were late anyway.
So, Yuliani.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone next week online.
We've got to promote that, right? It's on your channel, right?
Yes. Okay. The first Wednesday of the month.
Have you got a topic yet?
We have a topic, and it's coming up Christmas season and slowing down a little bit, and more calm season. And I think that topic could be quite good. Making rest a priority as well.
Making rest a priority.
Yeah.
There you go.
At least sometimes. I mean, it can be quite stressful now with all the Christmas coming up and all the family getting together. So, yeah.
Not for us, though, Gaitim.
Not for us, no.
Not for you.
No family gets together.
No.
Stephanie's abandoning us this year.
She's not coming.
Oh, dear.
She's going to see my sister in England.
Oh.
In Wales, sorry, okay. Wales. In Harden, in Harden. Ian, word to the wise?
No word to the wise tonight, but anybody that's been on...
Everything you say is a word to the wise, Ian.
Exactly.
Everything.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody that's been on the island this past week, I hope they haven't suffered too much from the heat. I certainly have.
You're rubbing it in, you're rubbing the sitting there at 8 degrees, yeah. I hope you weren't suffering.
I hope it cools down a wee bit. But yes, to everybody, just stay safe and happy and enjoy life.
Thank you so much, Ian. And Barbara, if you're still listening, we love you very much. You were so chatty on Monday, we really saw a different side of you. Thank you very much.
That's Barbara.
Yeah.
Oh, we love her.
We love her. How's your channel going, Ian?
It's still the same. I haven't done any work on it for a wee while because
you put some new films up, have you?
Not for a wee while. That was all the simple stuff that I put up to start with, but my other stuff's quite old. So there's a wee bit.
And all that.
Yeah, that was the simple stuff that I put up to start with. But there is still one or two people watching them. And
sure.
By the way, I don't know if you noticed tonight, my name has changed.
I didn't notice.
It's Ian at home, isn't it?
Ian at home, there
correct.
You go.
Correct.
Ian at home.
I'm Tim at home.
Yeah.
That's my other channel. I just don't put any... I do have a channel called Tim at Home, and it's the main channel. So Living with MS Tenerife is the sub channel.
Yeah. I'm Chris in bed, but I could come over the gong bit.
We could earn a lot of money with that, wouldn't we? Chris in bed.
No, that's a good idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna finish it now. I'm gonna go cook. We're having Tordinthal.
Yes.
Tordinthal. And it's going to take me half an hour, so I hope you got time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go for it. Time.
Usually miss the end on it. Strikes tomorrow with Royal Mail, so enjoyed the banter and beers, as Barry Oliver. There you go. We'll see you soon. She's bored already. Don't forget, Freaky Friday, I'm out with Orcus Whaling on Friday morning walk. Tomorrow morning's walk cancelled because I'm going to get me pins in my legs. To see if I can feel them because of diabetes and I don't know what it is. It's some sort of test they got to do. On Friday morning, I'm going to walk with Orcus Whaling and we might even meet again Friday night for Freaky Friday somewhere in Los Cristianos, Las Americas area. So if you want to come over and join us, we'll be out and about there. I will go to a bar somewhere and have some fun. I can't drink though because I'm driving unless Orcus Whaling comes and picks me up. Yeah.
But then he's going to take you back too.
He's a great bloke.
And then he can't drink.
I don't think he does drink.
No.
Anyway.
Before you finish, how did the drone, have you had time to have a look at it?
Oh, the footage that we did when I was with you?
Oh.
It came out very well, actually. It's quite short because I just flew over... Siam Park, and then I flew over the Monterey complex.
So
I've got you and me saying goodbye, and I got the two German guys saying goodbye. So I'm going to put that together as a little montage for Freaky Friday, and I'll show that while we're out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Jelly Springs. Sorry, go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, that was good meeting the two lads, German lads.
It was.
Yeah.
Hope they went and had a great paella on Sunday. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Dare for Living with MS Integrity, together with Christina and Giuliani and Ian.
Bye.
And Ian, that's all
right. Bye.
I will see you on the next one. See you. Would want to be 10,000, 9,000, 8,000, 7,000, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.